Hello, everyone, and welcome to the ACTUS podcast, a bi-weekly program dedicated to bringing you closer to the difference makers in CDI and sharing the latest news relevant to the CDI profession and ACTUS. I'm Linnea Archibald, the Associate Editorial Director for ACTUS, and I'll be your host for today's show. Today, we're going to discuss the topic of burnout and its impact on metrics and staff retention. And my guests today are Kristen Clompton, BSN RN CCDS, and Tanya Skeen, MSN RN CCDS CDIP, both of whom are associate directors at Banner Health in Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, Nebraska, Nevada, and California. Also, a quick reminder that the ACTUS podcast does offer 0.5 ACTUS CEU for the first 4 days after posting, which can be used toward your CCDS or CCDSO recertification requirements. I'll share the instructions at the end of the show, so stay tuned for that. But now, before we jump into our topic today, a brief word about today's sponsor. The 2026 ACTUS Conference returns to Chicago, April 20th through 23rd. Join our CDI family and ask yourself, how will I empower those around me in 2026? The 2026 conference will feature 5 educational tracks, including returning favorites: the clinical and coding track, which takes a deep dive into specific diagnoses and coding requirements; the leadership and collaboration track, which allows you the opportunity to hone your leadership skills as well as hear how different groups are partnering to further CDI efforts; and the quality and denials management track, which looks at the changing regulatory landscape as well as key denials mitigation initiatives. To keep up with industry trends and CDI's ever-extending reach, we also are introducing 2 new tracks in 2026. The Technology and Analytics track, which explores the use of artificial intelligence and other technology, as well as how data and analytics can inform best practices, and the Pediatrics and Neonatology track, which focuses on CDI guidance unique to the youngest members of our patient population. Across all the tracks, the 2026 ACTUS Conference features critical industry insights, transformational keynotes, and ample networking opportunities. Plus, attendees will earn valuable CEUs from a number of professional organizations to help them reach their professional development goals and recertification needs. If you're planning to join us in Chicago, act now to get $100 off with your early bird discount until February 16th. Plus, ACTUS members always save $100 on their conference registration too. Learn more about the 2026 conference and register today by using the link in today's show notes. And now back to the show. Well, thank you again for joining me today, Tanya and Kristen. I'm really excited to have you both here with me. And just to kick us off, I'd love to talk a little bit about kind of what burnout is and how it presents itself. So, Tanya, could you start by helping our listeners define that term and what it might look like? And then, Kristen, feel free to add anything from your perspective as well.
Hello, Linnea, and thank you for the opportunity to chat about this important topic. Professional burnout is a state of exhaustion typically caused by prolonged and excessive work-related stress. Burnout can be directly related to the demands and workload and inversely related to the extent of resources at the worker's disposal. In other words, high demands with low resources can lead to burnout. It can present itself with behaviors such as a disconnection from patients or physicians. An example in CDI might be if those who review mortality cases become calloused or cynical toward death and dying.
That's a great definition. Thank you for that, Tanya. And Kristen, do you have anything that you want to add to that from your perspective?
Yes, I do. So when it comes to actual department growth and onboarding our new team members, many of these team members are in a recovery of bedside burnout from their previous role. So we have to overcome that. And then we have to realize that the orientation to CDI involves a huge body of new information. They were previously experts in their new field and now are considered newbies again in CDI. This can come with a huge element of necessary humility, therefore kind of contributing to the added burnout. So realizing this is necessary when you're onboarding your new team members.
That's a great point. I feel like I don't often hear that perspective of your new CDI staff might be coming in with a level of burnout already. It makes total sense. I just haven't heard folks talk about that much. So I appreciate that point. We do know that CDI professionals are really under a lot of stress and increasing stress these days, whether that's from understaffing issues or increased workload and metric expectations. So when a CDI professional is experiencing some level of burnout, how does that impact their work? And as a leader, what might you notice in the metrics that could clue you into maybe a potential problem? And Kristen, why don't you start? And then Tanya, you can jump in too.
Sure. I think one of the first things that you would definitely see would be withdrawal from the work beyond their daily workload. So the extra things, maybe team activities, working on improvement projects, being involved in committees. And then you might also see some withdrawal from team chats if that's what your team does. They will want to do their work and be done and not worry about the extras. With metrics, you may see a drop in a query rate, especially for those risk adjustment diagnoses. It could also impede on their ability to analyze the need for a query, therefore leading to a drop in query volume. Many of these factors would also depend on what your departmental metrics are prioritized, and the team member will only do what is probably basically minimally necessary.
I agree with everything Kristen said. It's also possible that we see a drop in the quality of the work being done. Now, this is more difficult to measure, but we may see things like spelling and punctuation errors in the queries, certain details that must be completed either with the review or in the software tool. We may see some detail getting missed there. The DRG management isn't being addressed as well as it could be when someone is feeling burnt out.
Awesome. And Tanya, I know you and I chatted a little bit about this topic in preparation for today's conversation, and you had mentioned the importance of knowing your staff members' personalities, and you also talked a little bit about the Maslach Burnout Inventory, the MBI. So could you share a bit more about that and your knowledge of the MBI? And then Kristen, feel free to chime in too on that one.
The Maslach Burnout Inventory is based on the research that originally started with Christina Maslach beginning in the 1970s. The MBI was developed from that, and it's a test that shows and measures burnout. It now has several subscales, including a human services survey for medical personnel. The MBI survey instrument measures three different domains: emotional exhaustion, depersonalization, and personal accomplishment. The scale also measures levels of things like cynicism, professional efficacy, and these things provide more information about indicators related to burnout. When interacting with team members, I strive to create a safe space where colleagues can be honest with themselves and with me about how things are going for them. I've only been in my current role for a few months, so I'm still getting to know my direct reports. If someone is to exhibit signs of burnout, I can identify these with my knowledge of the MBI and link to the signs of what the previous research has shown. We at Banner, we meet with our direct reports a minimum of once a month. But if someone reaches out, I make myself available to support them in whatever way they think is necessary.
I completely agree with Tanya. One-on-ones are extremely important and should be prioritized often. And I don't believe they should ever be canceled. But I do believe you should allow flexibility with the employee's schedule. This is part of building trust with your team members. And I believe that trust is a key component when working in a highly reliable organization.
Totally. I love that point. And, you know, kind of treating that goes back to like treating your employees with respect and kind of treating them like they're adults and can handle a little bit of flexibility, and it might actually benefit you and them in the long term. So you kind of got to this a little bit in your previous answers, but as leaders, what do you do to protect your staff from potential burnout, and how do those efforts impact your staff satisfaction and retention? Kristen, I'll start with you, and then Tanya, you can jump in too.
Sure. So after the reviewing of the results from our employee engagement survey this past year, we did have some areas of opportunity around burnout. Our team placed a priority on well-being. This is also a departmental and organizational goal here at Banner. We have many resources available for our staff with mental, physical, emotional, and health, along with well-being advisors that provide support classes regularly. Our personal goals for our team, we set up what we call a Code Sunshine, which is where we take a break from the computer and prioritize ourselves at least once during the day. Our team huddles, we like to do those in an area away from the workspace because we spend so much time in front of the computer. We can do walking and listening huddles. We like to sit outside on our porches or anything else that basically gets you out of your typical workspace and allows you to connect with the team. It's also key to develop boundaries. There can be a huge blurring of lines when you work in a remote environment between home and work. You should also set up work hours for yourself and encourage your team members to do so. Do the same, yet allowing flexibility for their life needs. By addressing the burnout and involving the staff in this effort, you should be able to help with your staff satisfaction and your retention.
My first role at Banner was an educator role, and I've been impressed with the amount of resources we provide. For individuals who are new to CDI, orientation is 6 months long, giving them the time and space to create a solid foundation. Our education and compliance team members serve as preceptors and conduct constructive educational audits during this orientation period. The new team members also receive peer support during the second half of their orientation. Our education and compliance team also manages a support line through an email address. Anyone from the department can send questions to this inbox. This is an important feature since we know that one culprit of burnout is a lack of resources.
Absolutely. And what organization doesn't feel a little bit tight on resources these days? So there's definitely some potential problems there. And if leaders can do everything in their power to protect those resources, you'll be in better shape. So CDI is a very interactive role. I think Tanya, you touched on this a little bit at the very beginning of our conversation regarding provider education and engagement, which is a key piece of CDI's job. So how does burnout impact CDI professionals' ability to work with providers or with other departments? And Tanya, I'll start with you, and then Kristen can jump in too.
So previously I mentioned depersonalization, and this depersonalization, which is part of burnout, it can have a profound impact on CDI professionals. It can manifest itself if we are seeing a lack of consideration for the schedule or the workload of the providers. Depersonalization can also be seen if someone is disinterested in helping a coworker. They may be so emotionally exhausted that they lack the energy to help. We may also see a lack of perceived personal accomplishment, feeling that their role lacks any meaning or purpose. I try to make it a point to express to the team that it takes each one of us doing our part to improve the clinical documentation for Banner Health.
I think that in leadership, you could also see burnout with interdepartmental work. We must recognize that all leaders have a very heavy workload and many competing priorities. We must maintain empathy towards their focus and their personal departmental goals. Examples are working with your quality department, your case management team, your CFOs, CMOs, and any physician leaders that you may have to be in contact with.
Awesome. Thank you both. And as we kind of move to wrap up our conversation, do either of you have any advice for leaders, particularly who might be starting 2026 feeling a little bit burnt out themselves? And how can they reinvigorate themselves for this coming year? Kristen, why don't you start? And then Tanya, you can jump in as well.
Yes. So super important that you take some time for you and your health. Schedule your workouts if that's a thing. have healthy meal planning throughout the week, go to your doctor's visits, chat with your coworkers on more than just a business level. As people, we need to connect. In a remote environment, sometimes that's difficult, but yet we still need to maintain our work expectations.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more. It's important to unplug and have downtime, which allows us as human beings to reset our perspectives. As leaders, we must model setting boundaries that allows balance for us. We must model this for the rest of the department. And we must trust our peers to cover for us when we are off, just as any CDI professional should trust their colleague to cover for them when they're off. Because when they are off and out of work, we'll return the favor for them.
Yeah, and that goes back to that kind of trusting your employees and trusting your colleagues piece. And, you know, all the things that both of you mentioned as far as interacting with your colleagues on not just a work level and taking care of yourself and everything will go a long way to building that kind of community of trust and the ability to help each other fill the gaps when somebody is maybe feeling a little bit burnt out or needs a break. So I think that's a wonderful place for us to close. Thank you so much, Tanya and Kristen. This has been a really fun conversation. And if we have run out of time today, but as always, if our audience has any questions on the topic, they can email the full ACTUS team at info@actus.org, and we would be thrilled to chat with them. So thank you so much, Tanya and Kristen.
Thank you, Linnea.
And now it's time for the ACTUS Update, a regular segment featuring the latest news on what's going on inside the association. First, I want to wish all of our listeners a very happy new year as we kick off our 2026 season on the ACTUS podcast. Over the coming months, we will have 26 new episodes for you all, which means that you will have the opportunity to earn 13 ACTUS CEUs through the podcast this year toward your CCDS or CCDSO recertification requirements. We really can't wait to bring you so many wonderful guests and topics this year. We are just getting underway, but it's already looking very exciting. Secondly, in case you missed it in the holiday haze, we do have a new edition of the CDI Journal available for ACTUS members. The January-February edition focuses on provider engagement and interdepartmental collaboration, and it features articles covering implementing physician-facing technology to reduce query burden, CDI revenue integrity, and the creation of an epilepsy monitoring unit, the strength of CDI and coding combined, CDI resident education, collaboration between surgeons, CDI coding and quality, how lifelong learning can fuel your success, the hidden risk of AI hallucinations in appeals, the One Big Beautiful Bill Act and its impact on healthcare, long COVID, and so much more. ACTUS members can access the full edition and claim their one ACTUS CEU by taking the short 10-question quiz now. And we really hope that you will enjoy this new edition. If you're interested in submitting for the next one, our next deadline will be February 1st. My next update is that the call for volunteers is open until January 31st for a few of our boards and committees. First, the ACTUS Advisory Board, which is responsible for providing leadership, expertise, and an industry voice for the ACTUS community. The Advisory Board membership includes CDI professionals from backgrounds representative of the broader CDI community. And this year, we are seeking one member from a provider background, one from an HIM background, and two from a clinician background. All of the finalists will be subject to a public vote by the ACTUS membership this spring following the volunteer applications closing. The certification committee is also looking for new recruits. That committee is responsible for maintaining and updating the CCDS and CCDSO certification programs, including the exam and its prerequisites. The regulatory committee also is looking for new members, and they are responsible for reviewing regulatory policy for updates pertinent to the CDI profession and then providing summary, interpretation, and analysis to the ACTUS community. And finally, we're looking for volunteers for our resource library committee, which is responsible for reviewing materials donated to the ACTUS community for publication in the resource library to ensure that they are accurate, compliant, relevant, and effective. Each group is comprised of 8 to 12 ACTUS members from all professional and personal backgrounds, geographic regions, and organization types. They are really a microcosm of our broader ACTUS membership. So if professional development was on your 2026 New Year's resolutions list, this would be a really great opportunity to get involved. My final update today is that our annual ACTUS community survey is open for responses until March 6th. This survey provides the ACTUS team with a glimpse into each community member's needs, your wants, and even your frustrations. And while we can't sit down with each and every one of you, your responses in this survey will be invaluable as we seek to improve our offerings within the ACTUS membership and for the broader CDI community. We welcome both members and non-member friends who would like to add their input, and we really appreciate it. And to express our gratitude for your time, all who respond to the survey can enter a giveaway. If you fill out your contact information at the end of the survey, you could be one of two lucky winners to receive a free year of ACTUS membership, which will be announced after the closing of the survey. The ACTUS team works every day to add value and improve the offerings that we provide, but we can't fully know your true needs and desires without you telling us. So we do hope that you'll consider taking the time to give us that feedback on the community survey as we plan for the future of ACTUS. And as always, you can find the links to everything that I just covered in today's show notes. Before we close out today, a reminder that each ACTUS podcast episode offers 0.5 ACTUS CEU, which can be used toward recertifying your CCDS or CCDSO credential for those of you who listen to our show in the first 4 days from the time of publication. To receive your 0.5 CEU, go to the show page on ACTUS.org by clicking on the ACTUS podcast link under the free resources tab, and then clicking on today's episode from the list on that page. Then scroll down to the recording of today's episode and click play. At the end of that video, when the timer gets to zero, a link to the CEU evaluation will appear. Simply click on that, take the survey, and your certificate will be automatically emailed to you upon submitting that very brief evaluation. Those instructions are also laid out on the show page, so you can follow along there as well. To ensure that your certificate does reach you and doesn't get trapped in your organization's spam filters, we do always suggest that you use a personal email address when completing that CEU form. The cutoff for today's episode CEU is Sunday, January 18th at 11 p.m. Eastern. After that point, the CEU period will close and you will no longer be eligible for the 0.5 CEU for this week's episode, but don't worry, you'll have many more opportunities as the year goes on. With that, we have reached the end of today's ACTUS podcast episode. We will be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday, January 28th, with a new episode hosted by Editorial Manager of Products and Events, Carla Kozak. If you would like to receive reminders about each episode, make sure you're subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, CDI Strategies, which always includes a link to the new episode when it's available. You can listen to the show anytime on the ACTUS website or via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. All of the links we discussed during today's episode will be available in the show notes. And as always, we would really appreciate it if you would take a minute to leave us a 5-star review on your podcast app to help others find our show, especially as we are kicking off the new year. Our intro and outro music is Media Noche by Dion Key, and our ad music is Take Me Higher by Jazar, both obtained from the Free Music Archive. If you have any suggestions for future guests or topics, please feel free to email us at info@actus.org. And until next time, take care, everyone.